And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly
Oh,
podcast.
wait, I'm sorry. Garrett, are you ready to go live? Okay, I'm sorry.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have
Have a
a show
show
5 days a
a week,
but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So
they
they have
an
an
extra
extra
one,
one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The
The podcast. The
podcast.
podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast. The
Oh,
podcast. The
podcast.
podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Well, well, well. Hello, podcast listeners and viewers. This part of the, or today's podcast is actually sponsored by Pickle Jar, one of our favorite apps that we've been on lately. It is so great because if you're a content creator, let's say if you have a podcast, or maybe you're somebody who goes out and plays bars on Tuesday nights and sings, or maybe you're a karaoke person or whatever your thing is. If you create content, video, audio, whatever, Pickle Jar is going to help you make more money. You get to keep 100% of every fan tip, every song request, crowdfunding donation, maybe to help support your new project you're working on. Plus, if you go to sign up right now, you get the sign-on bonus of up to $350 when you create your account. It's pretty awesome. Available iOS, available on Android, and download at picklejar.com. It's great. And we have a really cool podcast today because Patrick is going to surprise us.
That's right. We have a surprise guest that will be here. Actually, they might be here. So I'm going to go get our guests in the building.
Oh.
It may take a couple minutes.
And he said this is mainly for me.
For you, yeah.
He said, "I'm going to be really excited." I don't know if y'all could hear that. I'm going to be really excited.
Okay.
I don't want to look in the
nope.
green room through the glass because I don't want to get a sneak preview.
Yeah.
I want the excitement.
Any
to...
guesses of what you think it is?
No.
Sean Payton.
He said it is not. It's not Sean Payton. Well, I did say
Bubba,
athlete.
Hey.
It's Sean Payton. I don't say that. You know.
Getting,
you know. I'll be stoked.
I'm trying to. So you,
don't you know. I'll be stoked.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because I asked him, I said, is it an athlete? And he said, no.
Yeah.
And hey. But Sean is a coach. He's a retired coach. Is Sean right? That's cool.
I'm being cool to you, so you're welcome.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so don't be.
You know I love coach.
Yeah. Just don't be dumb.
I can't help being dumb.
Just be cool, man.
You say that like I have a choice.
Just be cool, man.
I'll
Take
cool.
it easy.
I'll be cool.
Take it
I'll,
easy,
I'll
man.
Be cool. I'll be cool.
But yeah.
I really hope like Bill Bellamy walks in.
Dude, I love Bill Bellamy.
No, I know, but just like Sean Payton, it's Sean Payton. No, I was like, yeah.
No, I love Bill Bellamy.
He the,
had a
the,
show.
Same,
he,
mean,
had a, he had a show called Fastlane
Fast
back in the day. That
dope.
Was yes,
yes,
and nobody knows it.
I
was,
do. Big
they had
fan.
The
Tiffany
best
Thiessen.
Soundtrack. They had everything.
The dude from Twilight was in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fast
and
right,
Fast
here
Chanel.
We go. Carlson. What's his name?
Here.
Dr. Cullen.
Walking
Cullen.
In
yeah,
now.
He had a name, a first name.
Bubba.
Yes.
Say hello to Mason Ramsey, the Walmart yodeling kid.
I'm so excited.
it's not Sean Payton, by the way. It's not. Or is it? Oh, I can hear him talking out there.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody's talking. Patrick's
Someone's talking.
Talking. I'm
yeah.
I'm still.
Look at who it is. Bubba, look up.
Look up,
Bubba. He's
hey!
Here.
It's
our buddy.
Johnny Joey.
Johnny Joey.
Dude,
Jones.
How you been? I didn't
Man,
even know
fantastic.
You were. I didn't even know you were around.
Hey, what steroids are you using?
Well,
I want to get whatever you're using.
You can. I got a doctor you can call. You know, and that's how that. No,
that's the what I want. You got to get a doctor who is. By the way, good to see you, man.
Yeah, man.
Dude, when I had the Rona, I was. I've got knee problems from skateboarding and all that. So when I had the Rona, all that went away because I was on a steroid thing. And I told Big D, I said, I need to find a way. I need to find a way to find a safe way to stay on the roids because that was awesome. I had no pain. My whole body was like, you're 18 again, dude.
Two things here. One, please tell me all about your knee problems.
Okay.
Yes.
If you didn't get why that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
Johnny Joey
Johnny
Jones.
Doesn't have any knees.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah,
well, he
true.
Does. They're mechanical.
That's right. I don't have knee. If I have knee problems, it's something WD-40 and an Allen wrench.
Allen wrench for real, or is it?
Everything we all, you know, smart people call them hex wrenches.
Oh, worst,
dude! I got to tell you, I can't believe people who get. First off, I've enjoyed watching you blossom over the years into. what you're doing with Vox and you're on Twitter. I really enjoy the Twitter growth because you used to just, you know, you're like, hey, it used to be a bomb tag. Now I'm the bomb and that kind of stuff and all the great jokes and stuff like that that only you can do. And then you started getting into on your Twitter and you're using it a lot, like you're tweeting a lot. And you have gotten to where you just say it and you just say things that I'm like, wow, that's okay, cool, all right, good for you, man, calling people out instead of ignoring them. You just do it. I think before you used to ignore them and now you call attention to it.
Yeah, you know, somebody told me the other day, it's like, quit giving energy to people that don't deserve it. Listen, I'm not, if somebody says something really mean or just really stupid, if I respond to them, I'm not really responding to them. I'm using what they said to say something important to everybody else.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, I can't believe you wear pants on TV, or like, you know, I don't like it that you wear pants on TV. If I respond to them, it's so everybody else understands why I actually wear my pants cut into shorts on TV.
You get, oh, I was going to say, you get people who complain that you wear pants?
Brother, I get people complain that I breathe air. Like it, you know, yeah. But that is one of the weird things is like people.
So they don't like that you wear shorts.
In their mind, they think because I cut all my suit pants into shorts or even my jeans that I'm the only reason I do that is so that you see my legs and give me a pat on the back.
Oh.
And I'll respond back, look, bro, if I just want a pat on the back, like I got a pretty nice smile, I'm pretty witty, like I can get that pat on the back, right? I don't need my legs for that.
Easy, Joe. Easy.
Well, see, that's the smart aleck, you know, but the truth is, it's the hardest thing ever to wear pants with these legs. Like, and I can go through the five or six reasons why, but it's nobody's business.
Fabric gets caught up in it.
So the fabric gets caught up in the leg because you have these little pieces like sticking out,
hinges and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And so what happens is usually my suit pants get cut into holes. But most importantly, there's this little valve that's used for suction. That's what holds my legs on, and it's right here on the inside of my knee. And so if I didn't have shorts on all the time, you'd just see my arm down my pants adjusting my legs.
That's what Patrick does all the time.
Yeah, we don't know what he's adjusting.
And sometimes he does it on his own pants.
He's like, hey, man, I'm adjust my legs real quick if you guys can. But you know, just stuff like that.
It's just so dumb to me. It's like, who does that? Like, who would ever complain to anyone about that?
Because they think they're like, oh, he's just capitalizing on that. That's, you know, I mean...
Yeah, but that who says is, that?
Well, what people I was going to say, think that
who would even say that?
Well, what I was going to say is this: is back in the day when you first started getting vocal, and you really started because that's Twitter. I think is where you really started talking about.
No, absolutely.
And whenever that happened, yeah, it gave you legitimacy for your arguments because of your experiences. You come at everything from a completely different angle than the rest of us. So you have a very unique perspective on the military, on the VA, on whatever it may be. You can completely come at it from a different angle, and it's respect, man. And people could say, yeah, you capitalize and use that to get you. I mean, now you're all over TV, but that we know why. No, it got him in the door, but you know what? You can get your foot in the door, but if you can't keep it in there and you can't get the rest of it, what, Big D?
I'm laughing because you said, get your foot in the door, and I just open it up for him to make a foot joke.
Well,
I'm
going to spin it on you and say, this is what I tell people, and you can, for me, it's my legs, but it might also be the fact I fought two wars. It might be that I did a job that a lot of people have a lot of questions about that opened those first few doors, but... Excuse me. What I usually tell people is these legs will open doors, but I have to walk through them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I have to command the room when I get in there. Like opening a door is awesome, but any opportunity in the world is only as good as what you make out of it.
Yeah.
But that goes with somebody whose dad owns the company. That goes with somebody that went to an Ivy League school. That goes for a lot of things in life. We all use whatever we have in front of us and available and attached to us
in the world
to get
is
somebody's
a
attention.
Good old boy network.
That's exactly
and it's
right.
All about who you know. And, you know, so what? So what if somebody only knew you because you were a double amputee? Who cares? The point is you're here and you've got something to say.
Yeah. I appreciate it. And, you know, guys like you stay bored enough to give me a platform. So,
we had a cancellation.
In a city full of talented people, you bring me on a
Well,
Friday.
No, I saw, by the way, on Twitter that you were in town, and I was like, oh, my man, a direct message, see if he's got some time tomorrow to come
by. I'm glad
by.
You did.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I honestly didn't even know you were in town, so that's cool.
You guys want a little story, like a little inside baseball?
Yeah,
always.
Please.
So, and I don't mind to do this because, I mean, the worst going to happen is they're going to hear it and reach out to me and maybe we'll fix the problem. So I was at an event last night. It's a VIP event. It's exclusive. Michael Waddell, the bone collector.
Mm-hmm.
There's the National Wild Turkey Federation or Foundation, NWTF.
Yeah, we hosted the concert earlier this week.
Yeah.
Perfect.
At the Opry. And so it was a VIP concert.
And that's what I'm getting at. I was at a VIP event last night, and I probably didn't need to be there. So what was funny about it, there was a lot of celebrities there, a lot of celebrities you wouldn't expect to be there, and I'll name a few in a minute, but leave you hanging for a second there. But what was funny about it is this is the turkey hunting mecca of the world, right? That's what everybody that turkey hunts, at least in North America, sends on Nashville for this convention. I'm here for a couple of reasons. None of them have to do with the fact that I've never turkey hunted before. And so I'm at this event last night. So the people that are there, there's a lot of country music singers. There's some athletes. There's some celebrities in their own right. The restaurant it was at is partially owned by Justin Timberlake. So his manager was there and brought like Jimmy Fallon and some people like that. So wow. It was a very odd group of people, but not a bad group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there. And then you have some professional hunters, and then you have people who brought like their landowners or their outfitters or like people that work for them. So what was great for me is not one celebrity in that room really knew who I was, but minus a couple I'll say. But like everybody that worked for a living, like everybody that goes out and, you know, like uses a shovel or cuts down trees.
Yeah, they knew who you were.
They knew who I was.
So like
I was
Triple J, what's up?
That was awesome.
You were a big deal to like a lot of people in that room.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the
famous
ones who
people are like, meh.
And those are the ones who matter, man.
That's exactly right. It was really cool. And that's how it was reassuring is what it was. Now, I will say, and I'm bad with names, so I'll just throw it out there, the lead singer of Rascal Flatts.
Gary Lavox.
Gary.
He walked up to me, nicest guy ever. I obviously recognized him, and he knew exactly who I was, says he watches all the time.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
And I told him, I was like, look, man, I appreciate you being vocal about what you believe in, because that's not always easy to do and you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, well, it'd be harder not to. And I'm like, man, that's really cool.
Yeah, he's a good dude. If you ever want to give blood, touch his hair.
I know. I'm like...
That stuff is it's straight to Jesus.
That is some sharp objects floating around.
You know,
up there.
You know what he did? He owns a moving company.
I used that moving company, and I used another moving company before them.
So he didn't do the restaurant bar thing.
He went straight redneck. I'm going to do a moving company.
You know, that's awesome.
There's so many. There's good moving companies and there's bad moving companies. But he was like, there's no great like. Over the top.
Yeah.
The difference between the guys we hired, who none of them had their pants up correctly around their waist the first time, and then they just messed up so much. Just quick side note. They told me my daughter had bunk beds at the time, and the lady on the phone was like, oh, yeah, they'll show up. Don't even bother. They'll show up. They'll take that apart. They come in. The guys actually showed up, and they're like, do you need us to take that apart? I said, yeah. He goes, oh. We haven't got any tools. And what did they need? An Allen wrench. Because no one has the flipping Allen wrench.
Because they had legs, of course. Yeah. Yeah. People with legs don't have Allen wrenches.
Okay. So please tell me that Gary Lavox's moving company is called I'm Moving On.
Oh, no.
If it's not, that's the biggest fail.
Man, that's a fail. It's called Black Tie.
Yeah, we use those to move.
No, it should be I'm Moving On.
Do you have Gary's number? You should call.
I do not actually. I don't.
Oh, it's because
it's changed.
I got you. So who else was?
That's the other bad thing. They all change their numbers so fast.
Who else is at the shindig?
So a guy named JT Hodges walked up to me. I didn't recognize him, and I told him after the night was over. I said, you know, you have a problem where people know your name and voice. They probably don't always know your face. I have a problem where people always know my face, but they'll call me like. You're that guy, Jimmy Jonathan Joseph. You know, they'll just always make up a bunch of J names. Yeah, they never know my name. But to be honest with you.
Can I have an umwich?
Yeah. But to be honest with you, I was completely rude to him when we first met at the beginning of the night because I had not had food. And I didn't know who this was, and he walked up almost too friendly.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, this guy must want something, you know. But ended up talking to him for a while. He was really nice. A bunch of folks were there. Jay Cutler was there.
Yeah,
and he said I was standing in two groups of people, and he shook the hand of everybody in both groups but me. And the second time I felt was very deliberate. So I don't know what's going on there.
Uh-huh.
I probably need to find out what his beef is. I'm sure he has no clue who I am. He probably just didn't like my face.
Uh-huh. Well, I do have his number. We could call him.
No,
that would be awkward.
Well, I don't think it was on purpose, but it was weird.
So, I do want to mention something. You know, you're talking about how it's this mixed bag of people. Everybody, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't expect Jimmy Fallon to be at the National Wild Turkey Federation Foundation thing. thing. You wouldn't expect that. But remember, the foundation doesn't just deal with turkeys. They deal with all the conservation efforts,
exactly,
you know,
right,
keeping rivers clean for fishing and, yeah, and taking care of restocking lakes and, you know, wildlife population control and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're involved in all kinds of things. So I don't want to say that, even though it's almost an uncool name for their foundation because it makes you think it's only turkeys, but it's a lot. It's pretty much everything.
And that's what Fox gave me, this 12-episode hunting show. And, you know, Fox has ran out of New York. They didn't know what they wanted with it. So I got to kind of make it what I wanted it to be. And we had such an amazing time. But I'll tell you, the best episodes are the one where you go and you learn. I tell everybody there's three guests for every episode. There's an animal that we're hunting. There's the guest that's hunting with me. And there's where we're hunting. And different episodes, different parts of that shine. But the episodes we get to talk about conservation are really awesome. I mean, there are parts of this country that would be a concrete jungle if it weren't for conservationists.
People don't realize the impact that Teddy Roosevelt had.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, when he established the national park system,
exactly,
that changed the entire game. And then whenever the hunters and fishers said, you know, we're going to agree to this tax on everything, whether it's a firearm or a fishing pole or a lure or line or whatever it may be, a bullet. There is, I forget how many cents it is per thing. It's like 18 cents or something crazy like that. But $100,000 is raised every 30 minutes.
Isn't that something?
Of every day of the year through sale of wildlife and fisheries gear. Yeah. You know, that's amazing. And that money goes straight into national parks. It goes into everything you can think of that's connected to it. And that's something that hunters and fishermen pay every single time they go out or do something or buy their gear or whatever.
And the best analogy is it's like the iceberg analogy. You know how you see the 10% or 20% at the top, but the rest of the iceberg is under the water. The land we conserve, we're only using that tip of the iceberg. And the animals that we conserve, we're only hunting and harvesting that tip of the iceberg.
Okay, that is the most Georgia thing I have ever heard you say right there.
Well, we don't even have icebergs in Georgia. What are you talking about?
You know, you ever have iced tea?
It's just iceberg.
It's
oh, the way I'm saying
the way you're saying it.
No, but he's got it's a great point.
Analogy, but I couldn't get past the way you were saying iceberg.
We only see this much when it does this much.
Yeah.
No, I got all that. That's a great analogy. I went for the cheap joke on his accent because that's what I do, you know.
Man, we're nerding out on hunting. Your listeners are gone.
How's the reaction been to you at Fox? You know, being in New York and because you are a Georgia boy and you're a country dude at heart, and you're kind of fitting in I guess maybe some of them are country. Are they?
Nah, some of them come from country roots, but you know, you live in New York for 20 years, you're a New Yorker. And they would tell you that. Like, Dagan McDowell's a great example. I love her to death. She has an accent.
Mm-hmm.
But if she talks about being country, she talks about her daddy. My daddy did this, my daddy did that, because she's lived in New York for most of her adult life. I live in Georgia, and there's not enough opportunity in New York for me to move. Like, you could give me $1 million tomorrow, you're not going to make my life $1 million better.
So what is your schedule like? You're in Georgia, and then they need you for so many days, and you fly up every week?
I've got frequent flyer status. I got enough miles right now to fly us all wherever we want to go.
Well, let's go, man.
And I'm sure you got the hotel points too.
What?
I've only started doing that this year, which makes me a terrible person.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's free trips waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't ever pay for a hotel though.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
Dee and I did that for the longest time. I would always request certain hotel chains, and even though the company would pay for it, I would like put that.
You
hey man, give points, me the yeah. give me those points.
On the schedule, it's. So I got a kind of a promotion a couple of months ago, right at the turn of the year.
Congrats.
Actually at Thanksgiving.
A money promotion or a title?
Title.
Nice.
Opportunity. Well, the money comes in July. So when we renegotiate, you do contracts for a certain amount of years. So
okay.
I'm getting myself in trouble if I keep talking on that. But there we go. But anyway, and at Thanksgiving, they said, hey, would you like to fill in anchor for Fox and Friends? And you know, it had slowly progressed in this direction. And I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Then, like, a week later, I'm like, holy crap, they just asked me to anchor a three-hour show.
That's huge, man.
You know, and so that's been the change. So now that stuff gets scheduled way out in advance. Like, I know what days for the next couple of months I'm going to host Fox and Friends or The Five. normally my job is to come on 3 to 5 minutes at a time and talk about a specific topic, and that stuff changes by the hour.
Are you right. So are you at the house and they call you and go, hey, we need to shoot you talking about Russia and Ukraine?
I have a basement studio, a teleprompter, the whole deal. And when they schedule me to go on a show, 90% of the time it's the day before. Sometimes if there's breaking news, it's like, hey, even if you can't get in front of the camera, will you call in? You know, like if there's a bomb, because that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Or a big military thing, like what's going on in Ukraine. Like because I'm on this trip, I've had to say no to several requests even in the last 2 days.
Well, I know when we talked yesterday, you weren't sure if you had a hit this morning.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on
scheduling around
a show
that.
This morning, and I couldn't make it because I had other things going on.
When they have the teleprompter and everything, when somebody calls you on your phone, you don't recognize the number. No, if can they feed your teleprompter with whatever they have? Or
that's what they do. Yep. So
what?
Wow. When I go on here, I only use a teleprompter. A lot of people, these are fun questions people ask that are just germane to my life, but I love to answer them because it's cool to know.
Well, we don't deal in teleprompter world.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy to us and cool.
It is one of the hardest things to do for two reasons. One, you're comprehending while you're reading aloud. So the teleprompter is a guide. It's not a script always. Now, when you first start, it's a script because you don't know what you're doing, and they could literally type in red dog see dot, and you'd be like, red dog saw the dot. You know, but as you learn to do it, they are giving you a guide in case you lose your train of thought or you need something to fall back on, but you should know the topic well enough that you're putting
that.
It into your own words.
Oh, yeah.
But what's crazy is any interview I do or somebody asks me a question, there's no teleprompter or anything like that. That's from me. But if I'm hosting, if I'm the one asking the question, chances are I have a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about when they're talking to you in your ear while you're talking?
Good producers don't.
Okay.
And that's the best way to say it. But when they do, it's because they need to. And you just have to adapt and have that ability to finish a sentence and not let it show up on camera.
Yeah.
And experience is the only way you learn any of this.
Do you like Geraldo?
I think Geraldo's awesome.
Okay.
And here's why. I was a Bill Elliott fan. It wasn't near as exciting to be a Bill Elliott fan if we didn't have Dale Earnhardt. If you were a Hulk Hogan fan, it wasn't near as exciting without an Undertaker or somebody to kind of fill that opposition role. Geraldo knows when he's on, say, the five, he's there to challenge the other four on whatever they're dictating in the conversation.
Yeah.
I sometimes think Geraldo maybe takes it further than even he really believes, but he's been around forever. He's a performer.
He understands good television. He understands tension and how that can play into things.
That's exactly right. And people complain to me on social media all the time. I wish they would get Jessica Tarlov or Leslie Marshall or Geraldo off. Number one.
You don't want everybody to agree.
No, it'd be boring. What are we going to talk about? And number two, when you flip to the other channels, the Republicans or conservatives they bring on are horrible. But on our channel, like, we bring on people that will sometimes make us look stupid. You know, they really will. Like, sometimes this topic is so specific to them that they really know what they're talking about. And even if I'm not going to agree with them at the end of it, they've brought more information to the table. And you know what they've done? They've challenged me to think about my position. And when is that ever a bad thing?
Yeah.
It's not.
I like to watch when Greg Gutfeld will just kind of riff. He's so fast, so sharp.
Yes.
And I laugh when you see the ratings come in and he's like beating these the network night shows.
Yeah.
And that are doing, you know, have all kinds of crazy staff and blah 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 blah. It's just funny that, you know, everyone thinks you can't do this. I'm special. I'm the only one who can do this. Yeah, no, you're not.
It's pretty amazing. It really is. And, you know, I don't want to sound too much like a company man because I'm technically not. I'm a contractor. But the fact Fox gave him that opportunity to do it every single night and to give him the staff, because at the Daily Show at its prime, you had Jon Stewart plus 7 senior writers, not counting anybody else.
That's right.
That.
Yeah, people don't know that kind of stuff, and nobody ever really talks about it. Again,
Greg,
you like the Daily Show.
No.
7 writers along with Jon. Yeah. And everybody working together, and then you have the refusal, and no, let's take this joke and change it, or
exactly.
Let's take this and change. I mean, that's so. I wish we had that. I mean, that
but
would
we don't
be
need
awesome.
It. But we don't need it, and Greg doesn't need it.
Doesn't need it.
Greg did not need it doing one show a week. But when you are, when your name's on the show and you're doing an hour every night with three or four new guests, depending that week, and the news cycle changed from when you were on the 5 till your show comes on at 11, you know, I'd say Greg's biggest talent is, and not to suck up to him too much, like Greg had a big part of me getting my opportunities and he's been a mentor to me, but I think Greg's biggest talent is identifying talent. I mean, he's had bookers that were on his show that he saw something in and said, hey, I want you to, you know, try take your hand at writing, and next thing you know, they're helping write the show. So,
or like Tyrus, like I wouldn't even know who that was.
100% on and off camera talent. Greg is just very, very good at that, and Fox has really benefited from it. And
every day when it's we have CNN over there, Fox over there, ESPN over there, the Cartoon Network on this one, and.
He's kidding. It's the Disney Channel right now.
And whenever we see Dana Perino, well, Bubba always goes, what do you think? And I go, oh, yeah, she looks good today. And then the next day we're like, yeah, she looks good today.
Yeah, because it's every day.
She looks good today.
Hire whoever it is in charge of her. Or like Carson says, good genetics. There you go.
I will say – Dana Perino is a very smart and intelligent and graceful person.
Do you know what's crazy? I see her every day for hours. I mean, the monitor with her on it is literally
right
in front
right
of me.
Above it, yeah.
And I never hear what she's saying because we're in the studio and we're doing our show, and it's mainly there in case something happens, some kind of
lower
breaking.
Third.
Well, if there's a breaking news, that's why we always have CNN and Fox on, because if something... sort of emergency.
One will jump the other.
Yeah,
you know,
somebody is always going to be on it.
I can't hear it obviously either. But I imagine.
I don't even know what she sounds like.
I imagine it sounds like. Oh Lord, it's so hot right
oh,
now.
Oh no! Oh no! In my mind, she's got that. It's kind of like a Spanish voice, like you know, like yeah.
And she's daydreaming. Wow.
Is her fan, is it hidden when she fans herself? And she says, I sure would.
Like, what's the name of the main character on Designing Women?
Delta Burton?
I can't even think. Yeah. Julia Sugarbaker. Yeah. That's who she Well, my heavens.
We'll be back right after this. I'm going to have myself a refreshing mint Julia. And we'll be right back on Fox.
We need that. We need that South Georgia accent somewhere. You know, people. I tell people all the time when they hear him from Georgia, they're expecting Rhett Butler, but they get Jeff Foxworthy. The accent's different in North Georgia and South.
That's
Georgia.
A big difference. That's right. You're a little more closer to Chattanooga.
Oh yeah, I'm Appalachian. I speak more like the people in West Virginia than South Georgia.
That's right. Yeah.
And but we don't get that South Carolina, South Georgia accent. We don't have a lot
that
of
drawl.
That. Yeah, we need more.
What you need is a Cajun man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you need to go to the Fox people and just say, hey, you know, we need a Cajun person on there.
The only one out there is Carville, isn't he? I mean,
he's not Cajun. He's not Cajun. Carville is
from Monroe, isn't he? Or Shreveport?
Oh, is he?
Where I grew up, we call that Arkansas.
Fair enough. I get it.
That's how far south Louisiana, and I don't have the accent anymore. Patrick really doesn't
have
it
anymore. We need a Boudreaux or a Fontenot.
So here's how we go. Patrick, I can get you some of my cousins. They can come on and talk to you like that.
Yeah. You're going to be the new weather person.
That would be awesome.
Let's go to... what's the Fontenot? What's the we'll call him T-Boy
Fontenot.
T-Boy Fontenot.
By the way, for anybody who doesn't know anything about Cajun world, the letter T in front of your name means that it's little whatever your name is.
Yeah, petite.
So okay, yeah. T-Boy.
All right, go ahead, take a look at
nobody's ever called. Nobody's called me T-Boy in 35 years.
It's irony.
Right now.
Just go.
T-Boy looks like we got some a really nasty storm that is coming up.
Let me tell y'all, y'all better hunker down because that's coming through ya. They got that storm. The storm. You want to find yourself down on the porch. Don't be outside, though. It's bad.
Wow.
You got a shelter under your house?
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
And back to you, Dana.
Well,
I know that being back on the porch, I would love to rock back and forth with my drink and Just looking at my land.
Have we made work better for you now, or is it now worse?
Like he's so uncomfortable looking like, I don't know if I should be part of this.
No, I know exactly what I should or shouldn't be a part of. That's why I told you that Dana Perino is an incredibly intelligent and graceful human being.
Hey, no.
We all love her.
I have no doubts. I mean, there's a lot of people that were, and again, I know nothing about her. Nothing. I mean, no, she did something for President Bush back in the day.
She was the White House spokesperson.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Well, and that's what makes her so great for the channel because, unfortunately or fortunately, through the Trump years and now once it becomes a thing, it stays a thing. So in the Trump presidency, the press secretary became a daily topic. Just they would either, you know, rag on them or brag on them, but it was just the press secretary as an individual was a big deal between Sean Spicer and Sarah Sanders and Kayleigh McInerney. They just became individuals that were,
you saw every day.
Mm-hmm. And so, and
it's
now,
the same thing with Psaki.
I was about to say, now with Jen Psaki, it's the same thing. So to have somebody like Dana on there is smart on Fox is what it is, because not only is Dana good on hard news, but she can help interpret, you
the
know.
The spin.
Exactly. Exactly. And she's pretty judicious. And we have Kayleigh McInerney on there too as a contributor now. And the two of them aren't on a whole lot together. But Dana's just really good at helping understand, hey, Jen Psaki, she's delivering it this way for a reason. She's not just trying to be an antagonist. She's not just trying to make everybody mad. She's not speaking for Jen Psaki. She's speaking for President Biden. This is why she's saying it that way. And then it gives people an opportunity to interpret what our press secretary, whether we like them or not, is saying, so we at least understand what our president is conveying, whether we agree with it or not. And I think that's important. I think we get way too wrapped up into, man, I don't like her face. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how we kind of stay there. Mm-hmm. And there's days where we need that. There's days where we just need to vent and be mad at the government. Like, I'm a conservative. I want to be mad at the government all the time. There's also days where we need to take a step back and say, okay, but what are they saying to us? And where are they coming from? And what does that mean to my life, whether I agree with it or not? And Dana helps with that.
What about?
I feel like I've just been to government church.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm
no,
sorry.
It's okay.
What about Steve Ducey pushing his kid on everyone?
Hey, listen, we just talked about how one thing may open the door, but you got to walk into it.
Oh, man.
You know what I love? I love that Big D has put this all on your shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
It's like, okay, let's talk about your coworkers publicly today.
Oh, I will say this. Steve Ducey's, I can't think of
Peter.
Peter Ducey's defense. I don't know, not really defense. But just when he came out, when the president said what he said about him, and then he went on TV that afternoon and made fun of himself.
Dude, Peter Ducey is really good at his job.
You got me now. Yeah. If you're willing to crack, that's why I love Johnny Joey, because if you're willing to crack jokes about yourself and disarm the room, then you're in my that's my people right there.
My favorite thing was your beer koozie. That was one of the greatest things.
I missed that.
Oh, go ahead and talk about it. The one with the big G on it, and then you're like, if this.
Yeah, so I am from Georgia, and most of my friends are Georgia fans because we're winners, if you guys haven't noticed recently.
Oh, my gosh.
And
just open that up, Bubba. Thanks a lot.
Oh, boy.
I haven't really been a drinker in a while, but back when I used to, which is really a testament to how long I've known you guys, and the fact you still like me is pretty awesome. But, I mean, this was probably 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Oh, it's been a while.
So I went to my brother-in-law's house for a cookout, and everybody there had that red long-neck bottle koozie with the G on it that zips up the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hell, you know. And I only drink kind of like heavy. When I did drink, I'd only drink like a wheat beer, and they're all drinking, you know, like beer pong beer. You know? And so I'm like, well, I need to know which one's mine. So I just wrote on it, if you have legs, this ain't yours.
Dude, I laughed and laughed and laughed. I'm like, that is my kind of person, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the best thing is to be able to laugh at our own failures, our own weaknesses, our own
circumstances.
I remember when we didn't know you, the very first time you came in the studio, and I mean, it was for the boot campaign, right? Is that remembering that right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, the boot campaign comes by. It's a very serious thing. We're raising awareness and raising money for guys who are wounded in combat. So it's always kind of like, sit up straight.
While you're at that, bootcampaign.org. I'll just go ahead and plug that in real quick.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So we don't know how it's going to be. We've never met you. You come in here, you got mechanical legs, which is always just, if you've never seen it before, it's kind of like, oh, wow, look at that. That guy's got mechanical legs. And he sits down and he said, tell us a little about yourself. And you said, You were a bomb. I'm not going to steal your joke.
I normally say I used to be a bomb tech, and then I'll point at my leg and say, obviously, I wasn't that good at it.
Which, that was it. You get everybody laughing in the first couple of seconds. We're like, all right, this is going
to
be good.
Yeah. Disarming people in the beginning is key to really any kind of conversation.
That's right.
And I wish more people understood. Just go in, be lighthearted, and find a way to get in the door, and I'm not even talking about work. I'm talking about in just conversations, and then people will open up to you.
Hey, do you think what is your whole take on UFOs, UAPs? Is it our tech? Is it alien tech?
Man, I don't know. Isn't that a terrible answer? That's the hardest answer in my business to give.
Tucker's all over this, and I'm like, well, you guys might talk every now and then.
The best answer to this I've ever been given is kind of two part. I have a friend that works really high up in Congress. I won't name her because her family also is pretty well known and works high up. But she told me, she said, everyone thinks that the government is House of Cards, but it's really Veep. Like they are not.
I wish I got that joke.
Everyone
thinks it's really strategic and maniacal and like they plan this out, when really they're always just reacting to whatever mess is in front of them.
Yep.
There aren't enough people on the same page at any given moment to cover something up well. And then the other side of it is with UFOs, like, wait, are you saying that we may have the resources to cover it up, but would like every South American country have the resources to cover it up? Would every African country have? Like, are the UFOs so smart that they only go to the countries that can cover them up?
If you look at, you said South America even. I mean, you got Chile has all kinds of sightings.
I'm not saying I don't believe in it. That's not what I'm saying.
Johnny,
I think it's all equal opportunity. Yeah. You would not surprise me if a green Martian rolled up right now. Like, I'd be like, okay, well, that makes sense to me. It's more sense than not that exists.
They're great. Two are so bought in. They're so bought into all the UFO stuff. And so there was something that President Trump signed that
the disclosure,
like, by this date we have to give out all the information we have. And these two big idiots walked around for months like, here it comes.
I had a countdown app on my phone.
And it's coming out. And then disclosure day got here, and it was like nobody talked about it. It wasn't on any of the news.
You guys took me into uncomfortable places. I'll take you one. My mom used to do that on when Jesus was coming back.
Mine still does.
You guys remember that? Like, there would be the televangelist that would be like, by July 23rd, 1999, And I can't tell you, man, like, it would really dictate a lot of things. Like, why not rack up a lot of debt? Jesus is coming back. Or, you don't know what she might do.
Yeah.
And, I love her to death, and she loves God, and I get it. But I remember, like, growing up, like, when I joined the Marine Corps, wait, y'all didn't have a When Jesus Is Coming Back Day? I had like five of them going up.
Hey, I remember walking into the house and everyone was gone. The door was kind of jarred open a little bit. And I was like, that's it. I missed the rapture.
I'm still here.
I have fallen asleep in the afternoon and woken up to an empty house. And I look outside and there's nobody out in the neighborhood. No cars going by. I'm like,
yeah, it happened.
Well, it's like, you think you've known rejection. Jesus has turned me down five times now. He's been back five times. He never took me once. Yeah. He came and got my legs one time. That was it.
He only liked you a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, God.
I feel like we should have jingled out and gotten to an up-tempo record.
Yeah. Right.
This was the podcast.
That's coming. Yeah, you missed the beginning song, but wait till you get to hear the ending song. Love it.
Anything that we need to push that's like your
what can we promote for you?
Well, I think it's only fair since we came in here and talked about where I work and all. If you guys have a chance to subscribe to something called Fox Nation, I have some TV shows on there. They're really cool. One of them's called Patriots Playlist, which hits your guys' world. And we came to Nashville and Austin, Texas. We took five combat veterans that had been through a lot, and one of them actually has recently passed away. And we set them down with well-known singers and songwriters, and they wrote songs about their experience. We have five episodes. And just to give you a taste of that, here in Nashville, we had Craig Morgan, Love and Theft, Tyler Farr, and out in Austin we had
a bunch of people we don't know.
Granger Smith.
Granger's
more of a Nashville guy than a Texas guy, honestly. Mm-hmm. And Randy Rogers. You might know Randy.
Okay, awesome.
Patrick's favorite.
That's my all-time favorite.
I like the Austin music scene. You know, there's so many great artists. But there is such a weird thing between our two cities, the Austin and Nashville, because we think that Austin wants to be us, and we're like, you're Austin, you're hippies, and you smoke dope. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, my God, we're hippies and smoke dope, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's like,
hello, kettle, this is pot. You're black. All right.
When I used to live just north of Austin, and I don't know, I can't believe I'm saying this on radio. They had a gun protest down and down at the University of Texas, which is right next to the governor's it's right next to the state capitol. And the Texas state capitol, you can concealed carry in the Texas state capitol. If you have a permit, you can walk up in the capitol with a gun on your side.
Texas.
It's the most Texas thing ever.
That is pretty Texas.
The most Texas thing ever.
Yeah.
And so the students were down there protesting gun laws by handing out real big black sex toys. And that was, and I never understood the connection. They really didn't explain it, other than I guess they thought it would just offend everybody.
Yeah.
And what's so funny about it? They're like, well, I'll take one of those too. You know, I'm not giving up my gun, but yeah, I'll take that too.
All right,
yeah.
All right, well,
it's like you don't understand Austin if you think you're gonna like.
You're like, now I got two weapons.
The cowboys smoke weed.
I can't do the accent, but I'll do the Georgia accent.
Yeah.
Pretend to be the lawmaker. Well, son, I don't know what you're trying to prove, but the missus thanks you.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
gun.
Right.
And,
but that's
gun. You know.
Paul Stanley for the day.
There you go. Hey, thanks for bringing that up.
Yep, okay. Yep.
Follow him on Twitter. That's where we met.
Bring that up on the five.
At Johnny underscore Joey. At Johnny underscore Joey on Twitter. Seriously, we love you. And I'm so excited that you came in, because it has been a very long time since we saw you.
Yeah, man. You're so busy now. You're so busy.
It's awesome to be here. When we pulled up, I'm like, man, when was the last time I was here? And it's been years. So yeah.
I want to say 2015.
You were crossing over an interview we were doing. Trisha? With Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah, Trisha.
And then and Trisha Yearwood goes, oh, look, Johnny Joey. I was like, do you know him? How does that happen?
We met randomly. I know you're trying to wrap it up, but I got to tell you.
No, dude.
We're on your schedule.
It's a podcast. It can go 8 years.
Yeah, for sure.
I was in the hospital recovering, and this is just weeks, maybe months, but I think weeks after I got injured. And I had a shirt that I think Under Armour or Nike was doing, and it says, God, what did it say? Now it was, I can't remember now, but it was something like, it's like, I never skip leg day or, oh no, my feet hurt from kicking so much ass. That's what it said. And so when
you're laying in a hospital with no legs.
So anytime a celebrity would come, I'd put that shirt on. And I mean, like, if you know who he is, Tucker Max was kind of this big, he wrote, I hope they serve beer in hell. I wore that shirt when he came, completely embarrassed him. He didn't know what to say. A-Rod, same thing. When Trisha Yearwood walked in, she read the shirt. She looked at me. She started busting out laughing. And I was like, all right, we get each other. And that's how we became friends.
She's great. Yeah, she's great. Well, I think, you know, you've got a great future there. And not just with Fox, but with everything else that you're doing. And it's smart, man, to be able to leverage it and be able to do all kinds of cool stuff. Because you're giving a voice to a lot of people who feel like they don't have one.
That's the point. It's I always have to stay true to what I believe. So I don't go up there and I say something I don't believe. But a lot of people in my business, when they go on TV, they talk to the other people that go on TV. And they don't do it on purpose. They get in the habit of it. And you'll hear a $10 word will be used at 7 a.m. and somebody completely different will be using it at 7 p.m. It's been used all day because somebody coined it first thing in the morning. When I go on TV, I'm talking to my Uncle Jeff. I'm talking to my sister, her husband that works at the fire department, my mom and dad. My dad's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to people that raised me that are looking at TV not for entertainment, but to help understand what in the hell's going on in the world.
Yeah.
It's not my job to tell you what your opinion should be, but if I can give you perspective or information or context as you form your opinion, I mean, that's what I'm there to do. And the hardest thing, I said this earlier, the hardest thing to do in my world is to say I don't know, and I enjoy the opportunity to say it because it's the most honest thing I can say sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to mention, too, and I don't know if they're still doing it. Your show is on the Fox Nation app, correct?
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, they were, they might still be doing it for first responders and all that. They're doing like a free year or something like that. If you go to get the app, I'm sure you'll find out the details.
No, absolutely. You go to, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure I have the information correct and I'll tweet it out on my Twitter later today. So if you go to my Twitter, Johnny_Joey, I'll tweet a link on how to, we do 1 year free subscription for active duty, military and first responders, I believe.
Yeah. I'm on the side if you want to help. It's military veterans, active first. I think you literally just said that. but it's nation.foxnews.com.
There you go.
Is the website.
It's really cool. I've got a hunting show on there, and that's just a couple things I do. But there's some historical stuff on there. Hell, there's even some. I think Roadhouse might be on there. Some cool movies.
Do we got to get? You got to come in and do. Y'all got to do an episode in here. We got to do like a. We'll come in and we'll just do like a roundtables thing, and we'll maybe get a couple artists come in and play some songs and just have a make an episode out of it and kind of a Nashville thing.
Maybe we could do a scavenger hunt.
What?
Well, you know, it's a hunting show.
It took me a minute.
I didn't get it.
Those dots didn't connect right away. Yes. But I get it.
Bubba loves a good pun.
Or we could hide a submarine somewhere in the building, and it's the hunt for Red October.
All right, that's Joey Jones, everyone.
Johnny_Joey on Twitter. Go and check him out. And are we done?
You ready to hear the greatest song ever recorded in this town?
Absolutely.
Second greatest. The open's better, but okay.
Here we go.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Impressed, aren't you?
You like that?
I like it.
That's right.
Really hits it on the nose.
Yeah.